Hello there. We're Vince and Elliot McNally.
Yes, the great-great-grandsons of map-making mogul Rand McNally.
And we'll be your hosts and tour guides on a trip across America, one small town at a time.
In the spirit of our great-great-grandfather, we're traveling the country writing the family's first almanac in over 50 years. Towns and Country, the McNally Brothers' comprehensive guide to small-town America.
Each week we'll be in a new town, and after getting to know the place and the people, we'll tell you, the listener, all there is to know.
In a show we call These Parts, a podcast putting towns on the map.
Hello, listeners, and welcome from the Great White North. I'm Vince McNally, one of your hosts, and joining me up here this week and every week is my friend, my compatriot, my brother, Elliot McNally. Elliot, heck of a week.
It has been a heck of a week, Vince. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well. I'm adjusting to this, to the altitude, to the longitude. I feel really at home. I feel like I've really had the chance to stretch my legs.
Me too. I think as far as the McNally lineage goes, we're a resilient folk, and we've been able to withstand many types of weather all over the world. And this week has been no different.
Yeah, this week we experienced grueling 40-degree temperatures and up to 4-mile-per-hour winds. That's just the kind of thing you have to anticipate when you're this far north.
Yeah, we sent Xander some SOS signals for some extra parkas to layer on. Haven't heard back from him yet. I think he's on vacation.
I'm not so sure about that. I received a letter, and even though it wasn't signed, it was on his signature stationery, and it said, "I hope you both freeze to death. I hate you. I hate your whole family."
And he wrote that on his stationery?
I'm led to believe that he wrote it, but I can neither confirm nor deny. It was on Xander and Co. stationery.
I mean, I would assume that's from him, because usually all our communiques from him are on his stationery. We've talked to him about spending podcast funds on his stationery sets, and we kind of acquiesced, I would say, to let him do so, because we spend money on what he would call some frivolous items as well.
I mean, it's a working relationship. That means compromise is on the menu. And even though we thought, you know, when he said, "I need basic tools to do my job, like paper and pencils," we kind of rolled our eyes, Xander being a diva again. But eventually, you know what, we bent the rules a little bit.
Vince, you know, I hate to segue so abruptly, but my hands are freezing, and I feel like if I don't get one of our maps out, I won't be able to.
Ellie, we best not waste any time.
So let's put it on the map.
Listeners, we welcome you at home to play along with us for this segment. Unfold, unfurl, unhinge your Rand McNally Comprehensive U.S. Wall Map, whichever version you own, and look north, but not too far north. We're in the great state of Minnesota in a small town called Borealis.
And listeners, as you are taking out your commemorative push pins, as Vince said, don't go too far north, but still get up there. And to help us put a pin in this map is a patron of this town whose great-great-grandfather actually established it. Can you introduce yourself?
Yes, hello. My name is Bjorn Johnson. My grandfather, Bjorn, founded this town.
And Bjorn, what do you do in this town now?
I'm Bjorn. He was Bjorn.
Oh, you're Bjorn, and your great-great-grandfather was Bjorn? Am I pronouncing that correctly?
They're Norwegian names. The heritage that established this city and this whole world. Bjorn is my name. Bjorn is his name. We do share a last name, Johannesson.
Bjorn Johannesson, can you pick up a pin from our pin barrel and stick a pin in Borealis, Minnesota for us?
Yes, I will. Ha!
Well stuck, Bjorn. Let me parlay the conversation into, hopefully, if you'd be so forthcoming, a little bit of a history lesson. Your family is a long line of both intrepid explorers and cartographers. You founded this town as a family a couple 150 or so years ago, and your great-grandfather, Bjorn, he was the one that first charted this territory, proclaiming Borealis, the northernmost point in the Minnesota Territory. Is that correct?
Exactly. My grandfather, Bjorn, was the last remaining Viking who wouldn't give up his culture to these modern industrial ways. He found himself pushing further and further west, of course. He found himself pushing north. He found himself in Borealis, Minnesota. And he established a town based on beautiful Nordic principles.
So he was the last remaining Viking. This is incredible. And Vince and I, you know, we have learned recently that our great-great-grandfathers actually knew each other a little bit.
They were contemporaries.
They did. I hate to admit it, but they did.
So maybe we should clear the air a little bit, because Vince, maybe we should tell kind of our side of the story or how we know it, and then Bajan, maybe you can fill in the details as you have heard them.
Listen, I'd rather not. We've been down this road before, and we know where it ends. It ends in bloodbath, violence. It ends in the travesty that makes up this town. I don't want that to happen on this show today.
Well, Bajan, as sort of people who style ourselves as bipartisan, objective, kind of observant, we would hate to stir the pot with any sort of familiar feuding blood boil, but we think it's important. Let's have a more objective analysis of the town's history then. I think we've got the segment that's perfect for the job, Elliot.
I do too, Vince, and that would be At Long Lat.
So At Long Lat, listeners, is our investigation into the geography and cartography of the town that we're staying in. This time around, we're doing something very literal with the segment. We are actually examining where it landed on the map, because though it was the northernmost town in the Minnesota Territory for a few brief days, that title was soon stripped from it, as a vast 350 miles of Minnesota was charted above it. So now its claim is lay a little bare. So why don't we start there, Bajan?
Those charts were a farce. Those charts were a farce, and they still are. There are many people, a lot of people out there, who don't even consider that land a part of Minnesota or a part of the United States of America at all. That's moose land. We all know it.
What do you mean by moose land?
Mooseland. It's land created for the animals, by the animals, and it's there to stay for them. It's not for us. My grandfather settled as far north as anyone ever should have, and it's going to stay that way.
Just playing devil's advocate here for a minute, we have our comprehensive U.S. wall map up. Let's look at Minnesota. Just to the naked eye, it seems like there are several towns above Borealis. So what do you guys have to say about that? What does your family feel about that, about towns like Minneapolis, about Duluth? What do you think about that?
A couple of podunk towns. Two or three people dinging around, kicking dung at each other. I don't really consider it a civilization. Nothing like Borealis.
So, in your opinion, this latitude line that Borealis is on is the be-all, end-all of civilization?
Yes.
I have to admire the tenacity and the strength of belief. You know, we're very proud of our lineage, and so we can find some mutual respect in the fact that you, Johannessens, stick so adamantly to your principles. Now, I think it should be said that the man who originally charted all that more northern territory was our great-great-grandfather Rand.
Yes.
Judging from your very audible groans, I would assume that your family is still a little bitter about all this.
Well, listen, grandson, my heritage stems from a fierce belief and a fierce culture. And we warned Rand back then. We warned Rand McNally. We said, listen, Rand, you don't go more north than us. We're the original north guys. And he just didn't listen. He just said, I don't care. And he just went anyway. And we thought he would die up there. We said, sure, go ahead. You'll die in Moose Land. They'll take you down. They'll eat you alive. You'll be moose meat. And somehow the guy made it. So I got to give him credit. He's tough.
I mean, our great-great-grandfather, we've mentioned many times, is a very resilient man, was, and he was able to push past Borealis withstanding temperatures of 32 degrees and sometimes below. And so I think we should give him credit for that. And I understand where this feud happens, don't you, Vince? I mean, if we have this town of Northerners and then you have a guy from the East Coast come and start sharding towns, some trouble is going
to
happen.
Absolutely. I would like to maybe let's bury the hatchet, so to speak, and talk more about the practical nature of the northernness of Borealis. This is a town outfitted with an almost Everestian base camp style economy, where there's provisions, there are Sherpa guides willing to take you into Mooseland, there are endless provisional outposts, and a lot of warning literature, you know, kind of detailing the terrors that might take place just a few miles past.
We speak a Nordic tongue here. You come here, you don't speak English. That was part of our problem with Rand, trying to bring his false languages in.
So things were almost literally lost in translation between our great-great-grandfathers.
Many things were lost in translation. Many, many things. But Joran wasn't going to just go ahead and translate something for you. You figure that out yourself.
So it could be surmised that maybe Rand thought that when Bajoran was vigorously pointing towards the north, he was maybe telling Rand to go there and not to not go there into Mooseland.
You know, I've turned the scenario over in my head countless times. I've thought about it. I've considered that as an option. But in the end, my gut tells me that no, that Rand McNally was a bad, bad man who did bad things specifically to attack me and my family. And specifically me, generations down the line.
Specifically you, though?
I think he knew. I think he had a sense that I would come out of the womb kicking and screaming about this old family feud. Listen, before you go on tooting your nannies, have you ever seen the Hatfields and the McCoys series on BBS or whatever that station is?
I don't know if it's BBS, but yeah, I've seen it.
I've caught a few episodes, yeah.
Well, listen, that series is also a farce because it's based on this rivalry. They just renamed it. That's what that series is about. It's about the rivalry between the Johansons and the McNallys.
I have actually read that Kevin Costner was pretty adamant about wearing a Viking costume through that movie, and just through technical problems and quarrels with the producers, he had to wear more Appalachian garb.
Yeah, they softened it up, just like usual.
Hollywood's not ready for the truth, Abe, John.
They're not ready.
Is there any other significance to this latitude line of north? You know, why was this the most northern point that your great-great-grandfather thought there was?
Well, the thing is, you know, you McNallys, you've got the orientation all wrong. You know, if you look at, think about the globe, think about the earth, the whole thing is a sphere, isn't it? Isn't it a sphere? Tell me
sure,
it's a sphere.
Yes, confirm yes, that's
it,
right.
Confirm it again. It's a sphere.
Yes, it yes, of course.
It's okay. A sphere.
We're established that's a spherical object. How are you going to decide what's north, what's south, what's the North Pole, other than relative to outer space, other to the stars? Now, by all of our measurements, Borealis is on the very tip-top of the sphere. If you were looking from outer space, the very tip-top of the Earth is Borealis, and anything anywhere else is south of it, falling down along the great big blue ball that we call Mother Earth.
I guess I understand what you're saying. So if you have a ball, and that's planet Earth, and you're rolling it around, who's to say that the topmost point isn't Borealis? I think that makes sense, Vince.
It is Borealis. No one's to say that it's not. That's who. No one. And not Rand McNally, especially. That fool.
Vince is holding his tongue right now because it's getting pretty contentious in here. And I think, you know, we should maybe move it along and hear from some other people besides Bajon, Vince.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the great things about cartography is how subjective it can be. And collecting different opinions is always good for the greatness of the craft. And so let's collect a few more of those opinions in a segment we like to call Wouldn't You Like to Know?
So, listeners, Wouldn't You Like to Know is our weekly write-in segment We get the opportunity to hear from three of you each week who want to know something more about the town we're in. Vince, do you have the first question?
I sure do. This one comes from Sven in Skarsgård, Denmark.
So what does Sven have to say?
First, thanks for writing all the way from Denmark. We love our international fans. And Sven wants to know, have there been any inroads into slaying the great moose menace to the north by the brave warriors in Borealis? And then he's written some sort of Scandinavian word in all capitalized letters and carved a few runes into the page.
Bajan, can you translate this word for us?
The Skarsgårds are a farce. I've known their family for years. I don't want him calling in here or anywhere. But yes, I'll translate whatever he's trying to say. No, I can't. I don't know it. He's not speaking the right language for me.
Sorry, that was sort of a generalization. I mean, I forgot Sven was from Denmark, you're from Norway. That didn't make sense.
What he's got is all wrong. It's a farce, trust me. I built a great company.
It seems like your family has feuds with more families than just the McNally one.
We have a lot of feuds because we're a great family and we built a terrific company and a terrific town. We built a terrific town. Just wonderful, terrific town. Not everybody likes that about us.
Can you speak at least to Sven's question? Have there been any conflicts between you and the moose population to the north? Have you guys tried making inroads, expanding your territory?
Moose meat is our main source of protein. So yes, the conflict is ever present. That's why we stuck our town in the heart of moose land, just shy of the most north you can be. So yes, there's a lot of conflict, and we've eaten a lot of meese.
And so what do the meese have to say when they wander into town and they see restaurants serving moose meat and what have you?
Well, thankfully, meese haven't evolved to that point yet. They can't talk to us. Even if they could, they probably wouldn't be able to learn a language as complex and beautiful as our Nordic tongue. We've got a safety net there. We don't ever actually have to face them and talk to them. The eye contact is very awkward, though, Sven, let me tell you.
So they look at you and just kind of, you know, raise an eyebrow.
An eyebrow, and, you know, oftentimes there's one or two of these townspeople from one of these podunk Minneapolis towns sitting on the back of these meese. And, you know, say, hey, get off the moose or we'll shoot you too. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
Well, there you have it. It seems like if you come from a town that is further north than Borealis, you might want to keep on going.
Well, yeah, because you're further south, you're not further north.
Oh, I forgot. So, yeah, if you're looking at the globe, then you're saying everything is technically further south than Borealis.
Everyone needs to look at everything from our perspective. That's what I'm saying. Ours is the right one. And you look at the Earth from ours.
That's fair enough. And let's get a different perspective. But John, do you have the next question for us?
I do. This one comes from somebody I don't know named Bajan Johansson. The question is, dear McNally family, how terrible are you? Do you hate yourself? What do mornings look like for you? Do you hate yourself every morning? Does it last all day? How is that?
And this is written from someone just with the same name as you?
Yeah.
Hmm. That's not me. That's interesting.
I don't know who that was. I don't know who would say that.
That is quite a coincidence.
That is the question that's been posed.
Elliot, why don't we take a stab at it?
Personally, I don't hate myself, Vince. I think that we come from a very proud lineage. And some people might disagree with that, but I think our family has done a lot to chart these United States. And they say that history is written by the victors, and that's just how it has to be, I think.
Well, I won't disagree with you, and as McNally's, we're required by our familial lineage to take a lot of training, courses, education in various arts and disciplines. And one of those is the discipline of self-loathing. And so even though we can objectively look at our great, proud, and impactful and important history, we also know what it's like to hate ourselves. I think that's what gives us perspective. And so I think in a way it's very much about the yin and yang, the loving thyself and the hating thyself on a daily basis.
I mean, sometimes after hours in the RV, I hate you.
You know, sometimes when I'm, you know, trying to use the bathroom and I have to wade through what is 45 reams of paper worth of chew on this monologues, I start to hate you too, Elliot.
You see, this is good. This is healthy. This is what I'm talking about here. Airing out the anger that you experience on a daily basis, just knowing your own family lineage and how bad you are as the McNally family. Of course, I don't deal with any of that, but I would if I had to.
Do you have other relatives in this town, Bajan? Or are you the last Johannesson?
Oh, no. This whole town's made up of Johannessons.
So really, it seems like Vince and I may not be welcome here. I mean, I've seen some angry glares through our week here, but it seemed maybe people are holding their tongues a lot just having Vince and I walk around.
Yes. No, the Johannesson clan, this is a very exclusive town. Essentially, the whole town is just Johannessons. You know, you aren't allowed to be a citizen of the town unless you are a male descendant of the Johannesson tribe. What happens is, a boy is raised. When he becomes a man, he goes out into Mooseland, and he stays out there until he finds a woman that he can bring back to the town. Finds a woman, brings her back, starts a family, never leaves the town again. And that's how things go. And that's how we've expanded over the generations from the first Johannesson clan to what are now 76 families. They're all Johannessons.
When you say find a woman,
yes.
Can you be more specific about that?
Finding a woman has changed over time in today's day and age. Many of the Johannessons are on Tinder now. They set their mileage as far as possible. They see who they get. They reel them in. And that's the main way now. Of course, things didn't used to be like that. Things used to be different.
Has there ever been an opportunity or a chance to marry a Johannesson with a moose to bridge that gap?
Well, moose have always been a big part of everything we do here. Many of the women that have come into the tribe over the years and been married have been plucked from their campsites, not forcibly, just, you know, if you go camping in our territory, you just may find a young, virile, aggressive Johannesson man rolling up on your campsite and demanding to speak with your woman to essentially court her and see if she will take it upon herself to ride the moose off into the sunset with you, so to speak. We Johannessons, we ride up on a moose and we say our piece.
So I'm starting to understand a very complicated relationship with the Johannessons and mooses. Not only do you hate them and fight them, but you also eat them, but you also ride them.
We ride them. We use mooses much like Native Americans used buffalo, every part of it, every single part of it, every way we can.
So it's a relationship that is both symbiotic and contentious, and the mooses themselves dislike you via eye contact.
Well, I have a pet moose that likes me very much.
What's his name?
His name's O'Doyle.
That's very interesting. So you have these wild moose that you're always fighting, and then you have the domesticated versions, which seem to be your allies.
Yes.
All right, well, I think that answers that question pretty well.
Yes.
I think so, too.
Do you have the last question for us?
I have a question for you.
And what would that be?
Which of the McNally ancestry do you hate the most? Do you think it's the worst?
We have an Aunt Gertrude, who I'm not very fond of. What do you think, Vince?
Yeah, Gertrude is kind of the busybody, always in your business type. I think we would be without recourse if we didn't mention Alexi McNally, who was who kind of appeared on the scene in the late 70s, mid 70s. Claiming to be a McNally and, you know, our accepting nature brought him into the fold, and he learned many of the all-American secrets before defecting back to the Soviet Union, which was unfortunate.
Okay, that satisfies me.
If that answers your question, I think we're going to move on to the final one from Hank in, it just says Yellowstone, Wyoming.
Hey, thanks for running in, Hank.
Hank says he lives out in the wilderness in Yellowstone, and he is a huge admirer of the Johannesson family and what they've done in Borealis.
Well, it's got to be nice.
Yeah, that's great, Hank. And he says that a way that he likes to unwind and relax, take a break from nature, is to watch films. You know, apparently he's a huge film buff.
Hey, well, that makes two of us.
That makes three of us. And he says his favorite film is... Vince,
well,
it's happened again. He says his favorite film is Deliverance, that he knows was shot in Borealis, Minnesota. And then he just says, go on, talk about it.
Well, it was shot here.
It was?
It was, yes.
Are you thinking of the same film?
Listen, I don't know how many Deliverance films there are. Trust me, a film got delivered right here.
Oh, so you're talking about a film that was delivered to Borealis. We're talking about the 1970s thriller Deliverance, which was actually shot in Georgia.
Isn't that what the film was about, though? It was about the delivering of a film to a town in need of a film?
I haven't seen it in a while. It could have been.
That happened here. We were delivered several films. Several on several occasions. Our town is very cultured. We like films. We do. We appreciate them.
What's your favorite film that has been delivered to Borealis?
I think Deliverance.
The film about the delivery of a film to Borealis?
Yes. What is a better film than that? That's the best. You're the worst.
I don't think I've seen that one, but I think we should add it to our Blockbuster video queue.
Our Blockbuster wish list, yes.
Yeah, that's still a thing, right?
It is a thing. In Borealis, we have seven working and active Blockbuster locations.
I'm assuming because you're so far north that you guys don't really get news as quickly. And no. So the rest of the Blockbusters haven't kind of explained it.
We like to bust a block once in a while. You know what I mean.
Hey, no one could fault you for that.
We don't get a lot of news. Ever since we built the wall around the town, it was fun while it lasted.
This is the wall to prevent mooses from getting into the town.
And out,
naturally.
It was essentially just a wall that we put up to say to everyone around us, we're better than you. You can't come in here, and we don't feel like going over there. So let's just build a big wall, and we'll make Mexico pay for it.
Where did Mexico get involved? Is there a family in Mexico that you guys are also feuding with?
Mexico paid for the wall. Honestly, I don't know why. I just put it out there. I built the wall. You know, it took up the entire Johansson family fund, saved and grown, you know, in stocks and bonds over 172 years. And I just kind of put it out there to Mexico. I said, hey, anybody over there feel like paying for this? And there was a very nice man, I believe it was Cherry Garcia, very nice man named Cherry Garcia, who just paid for it.
Just out of the kindness of his heart, he paid for this wall.
Just because I asked him to, yeah. That's kind of the touch that we have, the Johansson family, the Johansson touch.
See, I think that's a great lesson to learn, that families can still be helpful to one another. And even through lineage, Vince and I can still maybe be friends with the Johannesson family.
No, that's not it. I don't think so. I think after this, we're going to have a big fight. We're going to go out in the parking lot. We're going to just beat it down. I'm going to bring the whole clan. You get your clan, I'll get mine.
Well, Elliot and I are pacifists by nature, so maybe we should get someone to get our RV running so we can...
Is a pacifist somebody that likes the Pacific Ocean? What is that? Is that somebody that likes to sit around by a campfire on the Pacific Ocean and dip their toes into it once in a while and make nice? Is that a pacifist?
Yep, Rand was a huge pacifist, as I'm sure you know. He came through Minnesota on his way to the Pacific, charting any town he could. And so that mentality has sort of been passed down through generations. Vince and I love the Pacific. And we the ocean really speaks to us, particularly you, Vince.
It literally speaks to me.
Really?
The siren song of the Pacific waves speak actual words to me, and I can interpret those words as a sort of manifest destiny will of the world for us to discover it.
Let me lay down an ocean track for you and see what it means.
Oh. Oh.
See, I heard that once when I was at the Pacific, and I've been wondering ever since what it meant.
That was the ocean quoting its favorite lines from Office Space, but I have to say, those are some of like the least funny, most cliched parts of the movie. I can't really endorse its taste in movie lines from that specific movie, but...
Sounds terrible.
It looks like it's trying to make some small talk. Elliot, speaking of small talk, let's tell some tall tales instead.
Sure, Vince, and let's move on to our next segment, Local Legends.
So as you listeners might have gathered by now, Borealis is a town with no shortage of mythos or legendary, and we're looking to dive into some of the tall figures in this town's past. We all know about your family and about your great-great-grandfather Bjorn and all that he's done for it. Let's talk about some of the other historical figures that have come through this town, probably from your own family lineage.
Some of the legends. I see what you're getting at. People ask me this all the time. We've built some terrific legends. One of the best kept secrets that the whole world knows about Norway, where we come from, is Norwegian Cruise Lines. It's a gigantic, terrific company, and we made it. We built it. My family did. It's still out there. That's why our town is... We live in cruise ships.
Just beached cruise ships?
Yes.
Now, legend has it that the original Viking longships, that their unparalleled technology for the time got them to far-reaching locations like northern Canada and Iceland, those were the original cruise ships.
Yes, they were the original cruise ships.
And holdovers from those original cruise ships include, but are not limited to, an all-you-can-eat shrimp buffet, a lounge singer on the weekends, and a bathrobe in every room.
Not just on the weekends.
Now was it a recent innovation to include shuffleboard and hack insult comics that perform every other night?
Those are children that are being punished. Those aren't, we put them on stage to laugh at them, not with them.
Those interesting.
Are, yeah.
That's fascinating.
That's a different... People often mistake those performances for performances, but they're just punishments. They're just meant to be embarrassing for the person that's performing. The audience isn't meant to enjoy it. We collectively get together to punish and instruct, another member of our community.
Sure. That definitely seems like a very Scandinavian tradition. Are there any other family members that you would like to give a shout out to in the town that maybe do something unique or specific to this town?
Well, there's always Uncle Fred Svedrik. Uncle Svedrik Johansson.
Fred Svedrik Johansson?
Svedrik. Svedrik is... There's no F in the name. Just a simple...
Svedrik. Okay.
We're still getting used to this whole Norwegian tongue.
Simple SV. Svedrik. Svedrik. Sounds like an F if you're an idiot. Svedrik makes teeny tiny horses. Puts them everywhere.
And what do these signify?
Life. The pursuit of happiness.
He goes by Svedrik the Entertainer here, right?
He goes by Svedrik the Entertainer. And have you ever heard the song Wild Horses?
Yeah, the Rolling Stones song?
No. They covered it. Oh. It's a Svedrik song. It's a Svedrik song about his little tiny horses that he makes. They're very small. Very, very small. They're terrific. He's built some terrific horses.
Are they meant to just sit around in the town? Are you meant to find them, interact with them?
Yes.
What's the purpose?
Find them everywhere. You may wake up one morning, you find one of Svedrik's teeny tiny horses in your ears, and all of a sudden you know that Svedrik was there last night. Svedrik paid you a visit. Oh, Uncle Svedrik. It's really quite a lovely thing. We all enjoy it. We think it's really grand. We think it's really great. It's the best. I know more about teeny tiny horses than anyone, and I know about them, and I have the best Svedrik's. And we built a wall. Svedrik is a big part of that, and his teeny tiny horses.
Part of the wall is actually constructed out of teeny tiny horses, isn't it?
It is. Yes, and it's terrific. Everything's terrific.
That sounds terrific. It sounds entertaining. Looks like Svedrik's living up to his name. Well, I certainly didn't know any of that. Pretty illuminating, dare I say, Bijan. But
just wait until Uncle Svedrik pays you a visit.
You might wake up with a teeny tiny horse right on your pillow.
With a teeny horse, and the morning that you wake up with the song Wild Horses stuck in your head, you know that Svedrik, Uncle Svedrik, was sitting at the end of your bed, humming sweet lullabies to you all night long as you slept.
This is really striking me as less and less entertaining as the description continues. Perhaps we should try to illuminate some more diverse factoids about Borealis in one of our favorite segments, Elliot.
I couldn't agree more, Vince, especially because I'm getting very terrified. That segment would be called Did You Know?
Did You Know is our weekly divulgence into trivia, into rapid-fire pop facts about the towns that we're staying in. We know that you guys aren't made of time, and sometimes you just need to learn the what's what in a rapid-fire segment. We usually have time, and by usually I mean every time, have time for five of these Did You Knows. And you know what? I'm unfolding the first one right in front of me, because you know I like to write down my Did You Knows.
I do know you like to write them down. What does that one say, Vince?
This one says, did you know official headwear for the citizens of Borealis is a traditional Viking helmet, but with moose horns on it instead of Viking horns?
Huh. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, traditional Viking horns being the sharp tips of a steer. But instead, you got moose antlers. Do you care to shed some light on that, Bajan?
Yeah, if I were you, I wouldn't go around all condescending-like making fun of it, because, you know, these are powerful helmets. Have you ever seen two strong middle-aged men from the town of Borealis get into a moose helmet battle, just the way that goats will hit each other in the head, deer, the elk? Have you ever seen elk with their antlers just hit each other with them?
Or moose, for that matter.
Moose. That's what we do in our town. That's our favorite sport.
I haven't really witnessed one, but when I was walking around, I seemed to cross paths with several men in moose helmets who really wanted to challenge me for a fight, and then they realized I wasn't wearing a helmet.
Exactly. You should be wearing a helmet around here.
These helmets seem very unwieldy. I mean, with a traditional Viking helmet, the horns are pretty small, but these moose horns will get, 5-6 feet in length, so people tend to, it seems, not be able to walk through doorways. Sometimes they're falling over.
It's a burden that we bear proudly. There's nothing to be ashamed of.
Also, a strange departure from the classical style, to put it in quotes. Typically, you have a small fur or leather cap with the horns affixed, whereas the Borealis version is actually just a severed moose's head worn over the head.
Yes, or it's a fur and leather cat.
With moose horns glued to it. Well, I didn't know that, but did you guys know that Borealis actually coined a phrase that is regularly heard the world over?
I didn't know that. What is it?
So, Vince, I'm sure our listeners know about our segment called Say What, in which we investigate local vernacular.
Great segment.
And usually we're talking about phrases that are very specific to a town, but this phrase was actually coined in Borealis, and when people outside of the town use it, they don't really know the true meaning behind it. And so that phrase is wagging your finger and going, up, 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 up. And usually that means, don't do something. But the original meaning of it in Borealis was if you saw someone doing something that wasn't, quote, northerly, you would say, up, up, up. So if you see someone not wearing a moose helmet, for instance, if you see someone not liking little teeny tiny horses, you go, up, up, up.
That's true. That is one of our phrases. But we've invented many, many phrases. We're terrific phraseologists. And we're the best negotiators in the world. And we have terrific phrases.
Could you share another one?
Well, most of the most popular phrases on Earth came from us. But sure, I can get into some of them for you. Have you ever heard the phrase, it takes one to know two?
I haven't heard that one specifically.
I'm not familiar with that specific phrase.
That's one of ours. There's variations on it that people have stupidly invented, but that's us. Another one would be, have you ever heard the phrase, hello, or hi, how are you?
I think I've heard that a few times.
Those phrases stem from our local culture. That's how we would greet each other.
Now that's fascinating. See, I didn't know any of this stuff. But John, do you have a did you know fact for us?
Oh, yes. Did you know that the citizens of Borealis are terrific negotiators.
You mentioned it. You did mention it earlier.
It's very hard to win an argument with any of us, which is why the town is full of conflict. I mean, we're constantly debating, arguing with each other, fighting with our moose horns. We all hate each other. It's not a good place to live, to be honest.
Well, it seems like a lot of times families that live very closely have a tumultuous relationship. So why do you guys hate each other so much?
Have you ever heard of the series Hatfield-McCoys?
Yeah, I think you mentioned it once or twice.
Well, not only is the Hatfields-McCoys, of course, mainly based on the conflict between my family and your family, but it's also based on the conflicts that happen every day between the families of our towns.
Can you just name maybe what's a normal conflict in day-to-day life that the Johannesson family faces?
You know, sometimes Uncle Svedrik will visit one family during the night, but not another. And the next morning, you know, the other family that got visited will go into the front yard and they'll say, "Oh, Uncle Svedrik visited us. Look at all these tiny horses." And then the other family will get upset and jealous, of course, and there'll be a fight. There'll be a duel. Sometimes, you know, people will wind up dead or in prison.
Wow. So all that over some teeny tiny baby horses. Vince, I didn't know that. Do you have another Did You Know fact for us?
I didn't know it either. Frankly, it's a little disconcerting. Uncle but Svedrik, did you know?
Uncle Svedrik.
Is that you whispering Uncle Svedrik?
No, that was Uncle Svedrik. He was just here.
He's here?
Look at this tiny horse.
There's a tiny horse on the table.
Oh my, he operates with a lot of stealth.
Very surreptitious.
For a large man, he moves quite agilely.
He is a very large man, but he's light on his feet, and he slips in and out like a cloud passing past the sun.
Should he not have whispered his name in a sing-songy way, we probably would have never noticed he'd even come.
We probably wouldn't have until we saw the horse, but it's so tiny, I don't know if we would have ever seen it.
Yeah, it's right in the palm of my hand. I can kind of squint and see it. It's remarkable, really, the craftsmanship.
Incredible. He has a gift. He's offering it to the world.
Did you guys know about Borealis? As the northernmost point in the world, according to its own designs, compasses here serve kind of a different purpose than usual.
So what would that be, Vince?
They're exclusively used for treasure finding.
A lot of treasure up here.
What kind of a treasure are people most likely looking for, excluding baby horses?
Well, most of the pirates, you ever heard of the Pirates of the Caribbean? I believe it's a documentary.
Sure.
It's a 4 or 5 part documentary starring Johnny Depp.
Was Keith Richards in that too?
I don't know anything about Richards. I don't want to know about him. But Depp is part of the Johansson family. He just changed his name for the theater since he does all the stage productions over in Hollywood.
I've heard this. So his actual name is Bajani Depp, right?
Bajani Depp. Well, Bajani Depp is a wonderful man, and he did this series, I believe it was for PBS, where he documented a series of adventures on the Caribbean involving piracy. Different kinds of piracy, some for gold, some, you know, DVD or music pirating. And he, the whole series was just terrific. It was lovely. But that's all based on our culture, of course. 72% of the pirates in the Caribbean, between the ages of the 1400s and the 1920s, were, you know, part of the Johansson family.
I think my favorite film in the Pirates of the Caribbean series was Pirates of the Caribbean 5, The Search for Napster. Yeah. And that's all about music piracy in the Caribbean, and people are downloading from Napster and Kazaa and what have you.
Yes, just incredible. An incredible series. So we have a lot of treasure that we've brought back into the town. And if you just walk around, you'll see it. You'll see it there. You'll see piles of gold, piles of CDs and DVDs that have all been burned on desktops from the mid-2000s. You'll see a lot of valuable, interesting items.
Yeah, my favorite from that series is Pirates of the Caribbean 7, Search and High Seizure, in which it follows a group of Johannessons who are masquerading as police officers to seize valuable paraphernalia from collectors around the country.
A lot of paraphernalia here.
That was a good one. But, you know, the reason I bring up Keith Richards is because, of course, he's part of the Rolling Stones, which covered Wild Horses. And it was, I'm assuming, the act of Johnny Depp to get a teeny tiny baby horse into each one of the Pirates franchises. So if you look and freeze frame at certain points throughout the movie, you will see a little teeny tiny baby horse.
There are always tiny horses.
And that really brings it full circle. And I'm going to bring it full circle one more time, guys. Did you know that Borealis is the perfect place to look for certain constellations?
I didn't know it.
I did know that.
So, of course, there's the Aurora Borealis, which you can view from here at certain times of the year. But there are also certain constellations that the Viking families and particularly the Johannesson family used to guide them to this town. So I'm sure that you can chime in, Bajan, but one that I've seen is the frowning upon of the McNally family. And it looks kind of like a guy punching our great-great-grandfather in the face, if you kind of squint a little bit.
Yes, it is. It looks like Johnny Depp punching your great-grandfather in the face. It looks like Johnny Depp from, what's that movie where he's in the window? Secret Window. It's Johannes Depp from Secret Window punching Rand McNally in the face. It's a very detailed constellation.
Do you have any other favorite constellations that you love to see from Borealis?
There's one up in the sky that just says, the McNallys hate themselves, in plain English, all caps.
So the stars are aligned in a certain way that if you were to draw lines, it would spell out the McNallys hate themselves.
It's very clear. If you come to this town and you just look up, you'll see it. It's just, yep, it's right there. It's all spelled out. The McNallys hate themselves.
Yeah, that's a great one. You know what my favorite one is? I think they refer to it as Svegetarius, and it's a half man, half moose, the size of a tiny horse.
Wow, Svegetarius. With broccoli in his mouth?
The very same.
It's interesting because a lot of these constellations, you have to use your imagination. You know, they might be just one or two stars, and then you have to draw the picture. But that one is very accurate, down to the broccoli.
Down to the broccoli. The vegetarian horse. Wild, wild horses. Uncle Svendry.
Oh, but another tiny horse
He's
just
back?
Appeared right in front
oh
of
my.
Us. Vince, I think we need to wrap up this show.
Before Svendrick finds a permanent home in our RV, I think we ought to hit the road. But before we do, listeners, we got something for you. It's not a tiny horse delivered by an increasingly frightening older man.
But you never know when that'll happen.
You never know.
It is instead an audio postcard from us to you.
And that's in a segment called Wish You Were Here.
Another great song written by Uncle Svendrick.
And covered by Pink Floyd, of course.
Yes.
And that was Pink Floyd and the Tiny Horse Wall was the original title of that album, I think.
Yes.
Got shortened again because the music biz is corrupt.
Yes.
You know, what's uncorruptible is our love and appreciation for you, the listener. Each and every week, we show that appreciation by writing a little something from the towns that we visit to you. And it goes a little something like this.
Dear listener, wish you were here in Borealis, Minnesota.
So once and to some still current northernmost point in these great United States and this great state of Minnesota.
A town full of larger-than-life personalities and the tiniest of horses.
A town where a simple familial dispute might be cause for the butting of heads, literally and figuratively.
In a town where if you want to go further north, well, that just ain't gonna happen.
Farewell from these parts, the most north part ever, to yours.
Hey listeners, thanks again for tuning in this week. Hope you enjoyed our stay in Borealis, Minnesota. And I hope you enjoy next week when we're in Emerald, Kansas.
Emerald, Kansas is a dog show loving town that considers itself the Westminster of the South. You won't want to miss it.